Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Fortress Comic News, episode 334. I'm one of your hosts, Chris, alongside my co-host here, Mike. What's going on, Mike?
Nothing much. Just playing some Baldur's Gate 3. After 2 weeks of like, I'm not going to play this game. It's not something I would like. And then several people texted me and be like, dude, this game, you would love it. It's you roll dice just like D&D. And you level up just like D&D. I don't think. And then I bought it and I've spent 3 hours that I didn't have today on it. So
I want to get into that. I will probably do it later on because when this comes out, I will be done with Final Fantasy 16.
Okay.
I'm near the end.
Yeah.
But as we're recording this, like I played a little bit today. The Eagles game's on. We're done recording.
So you got to go
beat it tonight.
Yeah.
But Starfield's the next game, and that's going to consume my life for a while.
Yeah.
And then I am going to just play, like, small games for a little while.
Indie stuff, yeah. Yeah. I just want to let everybody know we have Winston Jambro back on the show today with Haunted House, a love story. He's got several other projects, but this is one that's coming out being published, so we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But back to the video games. Yeah, like after you do those big games, you need to take a break and do some like indie platforming or some shit like that just to wind down.
And I really want to play Bat Boy, which is a Mega Man-esque game, but like you're a baseball player.
Yeah.
And all the bosses are sports figures.
Yeah, I want to play that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fun. I think my wish list right now has like 25 games on it, Chris. And I still have games from last PAX East, and now we're approaching the next PAX East.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, because I want to play Sea of Stars. I want to play WrestleQuest. I don't know if you saw that one.
Yeah, WrestleQuest looks awesome. Yep.
And there's an older game I want to check out called Etrian Odyssey, I think it is.
Hmm.
That's like a dungeon crawler that I don't know. I never played those types of games before. Mm-hmm. And then I played Severed. I don't know if you ever played that one.
I don't know if I played that one, no.
But that was made by the people who made Nobody Saves the World. And I forget what the name of their other game is. But it's one of those like first-person dungeon things. Where it's like squares where you move through.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
And I really like that. So I'm like, I wonder if I just like this game or if I like that style. So I want to try that. And there's a ton of shit coming out this year.
Yeah.
Dude, Spider-Man's coming out.
It was either this or Armored Core, and I was like, Baldur's Gate will occupy a lot of my time. Plus, the plus side to it is it runs on Steam Deck already, so.
Nice.
Yeah, I can do it all from the couch. I never have to get up. it's pretty inviting when a game, I think Armored Core runs on Steam Deck too, but and I've been watching not in the news, but everybody knows the One Piece show came out on Netflix. I think I have a couple episodes left. It's either 8 or 10 episodes this season. I'm not a huge One Piece fan. I mean, like, not that I never kept up with it. I watched like the first couple seasons of the anime when I was younger. I know they have like 1,000 episodes out now. This first season, I think, takes care of like the first 90 something chapters of the anime manga. And at first, it's a little like weird watching it. The characters are changed up just for like the live action. I mean, you can't, but they do keep like the mer people, and like, you know, people have like these actual like authentic prosthetics on them to look like weird humanoid creatures. So that's really cool. And it works. It's like really cheesy and campy, but it's like got a lot of heart. And my favorite character, Zoro. I mean, somebody with three swords is so awesome, and they do a great job with him. So, everybody that plays the characters is really good. And like at first, Luffy was kind of annoying to me, but that's how he is in the anime. You know what I mean? He's like very like that's like every main character in anime, right? They're just so freaking annoying. But he starts to grow on you, and he's also like, he grows on the crew. That's like the whole first season, you know, is like Luffy's got to get his pirate crew together. But I think the casting is really good, and we're getting into some really cool parts from the anime, and they're doing it all. Like, they're not holding back in any of it. I'm having a lot of fun with it as like a casual watcher. I think it's pretty good. but
yeah, so we'll talk about this more later, but like mm-hmm. I've been reading Death Note.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I saw that the anime is on Netflix. Mm-hmm. So I started watching that. And I don't know, I'm only like a couple episodes in, so I'm not gonna have much of a judgment, but
yeah.
It's good. I mean, we'll see.
There's an infamous scene from that anime where he's like writing in the Death Note. I don't remember the context of it, but he's like narrating what he's doing, and he's like eating a bag of like potato chips. And it's like a meme on the internet, but he's like, and I take a chip and I eat it. And it's like really dramatic, and like people laugh about that shit all the time.
Well, in the manga, they start suspecting him of being the person who's doing so.
Yeah.
Do you know the, like the basic
storyline? Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, he can write people's names in a book and they die. Right.
Yeah. And he uses that to kill criminals. So he's going to like teach the world. And then somebody figures out that somebody's doing this, but they don't mm-hmm. know how.
Yep.
So there's an investigation. And then I think that's why I like it so much. Cause it's like a noir investigation book.
Yeah. You love that shit.
Yeah. And, the person who suspects him ends up bugging the house and like putting all these cameras in, and he figures it out. So the way he continues to kill people while being bugged is he puts a little like tiny LCD TV in the bag of chips and like eats them the chips, but he can watch it, and then the camera can't, or the cameras can't see it.
Yep. Yeah.
So that's why, like, that is a pretty intense moment in the manga. I'll say that, but
yeah. It's just funny in the anime.
And then,
No, it's a great series. Which they also did live action of. I don't know if I ever watched the movie.
I haven't either. I might give it a shot, but
with Willem Dafoe as the demon.
And then it's also that time of year, Mike.
Oh yeah.
You know what time of year it is?
Football season. Oh. I don't even like. What is this group playing? Fly, Eagles, fly, right? Hey, that was awesome. I don't know where that was, why those people are gathered like that playing football music, and why they're all so into it, but who cares?
It's one of my favorite, because it's like, it's from some like old video, or like it's a DJ doing something, they're all rocking out, but then, you know, just like that one video of the hardcore group.
Yes.
And they'll put like SpongeBob music in the background.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like that, so, yeah. But it makes me laugh every time I watch it.
It's amazing.
Yeah, dude, football season's here. I'm stoked.
Yep. Everybody else is, you know, if they had a football comic, maybe they'd be stoked, but sorry, folks. There is football manga. There's football manga. There's like a manga for every sport, and I believe I did read that one for a little bit. I can't remember the name.
There's one, I can actually look it up, because it's made by a very popular manga creator that I looked up, but you can't get anymore, which frustrates
me. Yeah, it was old school. It was like back early 2000s, I think it was coming out.
Yeah, it's one of his earlier works, and now you can't get it. So,
yep. I had Whistle. Whistle was the soccer one, I think. And the baseball one was really good. I can't remember the baseball one. They're all really good. It's like you think it wouldn't gain your interest of like reading about that shit in a, like a comic form, but it works somehow. But
yeah, where...
Chris is looking up the name, and I'm gonna just talk about
Eye Shield 21 is what it's
called. Eye Shield 21. Holy shit.
I really want to read it.
Yeah.
And
I did read it. Yeah. It was by Shonen Jump, right?
Yeah, it's
back in the day when I used to get the magazines in the mail.
That's what it is. So I'm going to butcher names here. Yasuki Murata.
Okay.
Who is the artist for One Punch Man.
Oh, it was one of his old. That's why you can't find it anymore, because people got One Punch Man. They went.
Yeah, well, no, it came to the States and just fizzled out. But now people are interested again because One Punch Man's a big deal.
One Punch Man, yeah.
So maybe we'll get a reprint here soon, which I don't care about first prints or any of that bullshit when it comes to manga. So I just want to read it.
I'm pretty sure I had those volumes too. I should have kept them, man. Ugh.
They're worth money now. I'll tell you that. I've tried.
That was back when I used to go to Barnes & Noble and there wasn't like a graphic, a huge graphic novel section, there was just a little edge of the store that had manga, like one half of a shelf. Now it's like they have a huge section, you know. Yeah, things have changed. But all right, I think we'll jump into the TV news after all that malarkey. The Boys live action spinoff series Gen V got its final trailer with a release date of September 29th. So wow, a couple weeks happening this month. Pretty exciting stuff. I completely forgot about this again. I keep forgetting about the show even coming out. But I am excited to see more Boys, so hopefully we get some insight into that a little sooner.
Yeah, did you watch the trailer?
No, I haven't. I watched the original one they released, but I haven't watched the new one.
So I was watching this one, and here we go. And I get like very, it's definitely in the Boys universe, and it's like how it feels and everything.
Yeah.
But it gives off very heavy horror vibes throughout it.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of blood. Yeah, screaming, and it's like the horror movie X-Men, which they tried to do with, what was that movie?
Oh, New Mutants.
Yeah, New Mutants.
Which is funny because this is supposed to be like a X-Men-esque show as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it seems like, you know, a bunch of kids that have powers stuck in this like school. And then you'll see later on in the trailer, like they can't leave the school and all this stuff.
Mm.
And then one of the powers is like she can control blood, I guess.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. She's like a bloodbender, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. So yeah, here's the scene where like they capture the kid, they throw him in the thing. So like I'm pretty excited for this. I think it looks really good.
And no, it's
gonna be definitely different from The Boys, which will be good. To just do another The Boys show under a different name would be weird.
Yeah. But no, this actually looks really good. The special effects look good. Oh, that was the girl.
Returning characters too.
Yeah, that was the senator or whatever that can make people's heads blow up.
There's a lot of Muppet stuff in here too, which is weird.
the Muppet thing is weird. Someone must be able to turn into a Muppet, I guess.
Yeah, or control Muppets or something. But there's a lot of Muppet stuff in this trailer.
There's gonna be some weird powers, I think. It's not gonna be like your everyday X-Men.
Oh, definitely. I mean, just from the bloodbender alone, like see more Muppets.
There's a lot of Muppets.
But yeah, I think it looks really good.
I wonder if we'll get some reveals from like Boys characters. Oh boy, this girl's just like, she just Adam went into his brain, shrunk herself, and that's one way to kill people. No, I think it's gonna be cool. I can't believe it's coming out so soon. I forgot about it.
Yeah, there's talks that there's gonna be Boys characters in it too, which will be interesting.
Yeah,
like I know the Deep has been talked about and a few others.
Oh, okay, that'd be cool.
So yeah, it'd be cool to kind of like just get them in and like just so people like normies are aware, like, hey, this is connected.
This was a surprise this week because I didn't even realize it was a thing, and the trailer looks dope. So Apple TV released a trailer for Monarch Legacy of Monsters. This is the tie-in series for the legendary productions of the Godzilla movies. It'll be streaming November 17th, so relatively soon, next month. And we're getting the trailer. So first off, I was like, okay, Monarch is the, like, I forget what the acronym stands for, but whatever. They're like, you know, the sole people that are like monitoring the monsters on Earth, like Godzilla, Rodan, all the Mothra, all of them like that. And they're like a underground organization, and we even have like
John Goodman
showing up from the Kong movies. Kurt Russell, had no idea Kurt Russell was in this, and then his son, what's his name, Chris?
Wyatt
Russell is playing a younger version of him. And then we get a lot of like glimpses of a Godzilla from like the movie when he was attacking the city and stuff like that. Obviously, there's like, we have Kurt Russell younger self as he's like first starting his investigations, and they even show like John Goodman, like what he was doing besides going after Kong, right? He was looking for other monsters too. So
yeah, I think they're gonna find Monster Island on the show.
Yeah,
I just, I feel it in my bones, like that's gonna be the what this show is all about. And
I'm excited for it.
I think too, like we always talk about how we want our Godzilla movies to be more Godzilla and less people. But if you're going to do a people story inside the Godzilla world, I think that's the way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I'll kind of go back on that criticism for this one, unless it really sucks, then I'll just throw it right back in there.
I do love Kurt Russell though. I can't get upset. More Kurt Russell is not a bad thing. So
yeah, I like the idea that Wyatt's playing a younger version of Kurt.
Yeah.
So they're gonna do flashbacks, which means that Wyatt's probably gonna be interacting with John Goodman.
Oh yeah, true. Yeah,
because I'm pretty sure the Kong movie takes place in like the 30s or something.
Yeah, I can't remember. They need to like catch us up on the timeline before this show comes out.
Can you imagine? Well, actually, didn't he die? Did Samuel Jackson's character die in Kong?
I think so. Yeah,
it's been a while since I watched that movie. But it would be like funny if he just showed up randomly somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, more Godzilla stuff. I mean, I did love the King of Monsters movie because just from seeing all the monsters, you know.
Yeah, the legendary movies are good. They're just, they make that classic mistake of like, hey, look what the guy who played Kick-Ass is doing. And it was like, I don't care what he's doing.
Yeah, I don't care.
I care what Godzilla's doing.
Yeah, it should be relative to the monsters. Like, they should be just investigating the monsters. That's what that's what the movies are always about, like.
If I was in charge of Godzilla, I would hire I would pay someone like Ben Affleck a shitload of money to be like, just so I could say like Godzilla starring Ben Affleck. And then the only time you see Affleck is when he's running away from Godzilla.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pay him like $5,000. Get the hell out of here.
Here's your millions. Now leave so we can get a Godzilla movie made.
But I was surprised at the trailer. The quality is really good. Apple TV has got a really good track record right now, so I have a feeling this is going to be good. Interesting, it's not on HBO. Don't really know how that works.
Yeah, but I'm confused on that.
Yeah, because Legendary, all like the Godzillas were exclusively released on HBO or Max. I'm sorry. So I'm not really sure how that works at all. But
I don't know either, because like there isn't a Blade on HBO Max right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure Marvel owns those now, because I'm pretty sure those were a Fox movie.
Yeah, there's some weird things. The Harry Potter movies, too, they come and go, even though those are Warner Brothers. Like, people buy them for, like, oh, you know, like, fall, Christmas time, everybody wants to watch them. So, like, Peacock owns them for that section of time, and, like, HBO has them during the summer. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me.
It must just be someone's like, I'll give you a shitload of money if we can take it.
And they're like, all right, I guess.
Which, at this point, like, and this isn't trashing on Harry Potter, because I like Harry Potter, but at this point, it's like, who's paying a lot of money to be like, put Harry Potter on my streaming service?
Yeah. Well, that's just it, though. Like, it bounces around so much because people flock to where it is. It's like The Office, right? People religiously would rewatch The Office. So, like, that's why when Peacock first came out, they're like, we have The Office. That's our thing. You know, it's like, wow, you have this show that's been around for 10 years that hasn't been on air. Like,
yeah, but it works. Crazy.
Yeah.
It works. Well, I have Peacock.
Yep.
That Parks and Rec.
See? You're like, who's waiting around for these Harry Potter movies? Yeah, I got Peacock for those shows to rewatch them.
If the example there is, if Netflix had The Office and Parks and Rec,
yeah,
and then like for 3 months out of the year, they're like, and now Peacock has it. I would just all right, I'll just wait 3 months for it to come back to Netflix.
Yeah, yeah, and like, I think some people, there must be some numbers where they're like, oh shit, we have to sign up for this. Let's sign up. And
it could be, I mean, and that, and once again, it's not that I'm picking on Harry Potter. I mean, this for a wide, vast number of things that jump around, but
that, speaking
it could
of things,
just be like, hey, my Christmas tradition is to watch Harry Potter instead of being a man and watching Die Hard.
Yeah. But right. Or you can watch both and watch them all month. I watched Die Hard. I watched Die Hard at least 5 times, at least during Christmas season.
You should really watch Jingle All the Way, the true Christmas special.
I love that movie.
you should.
Where was I going with the... oh, speaking of movies they've added to Max, Army of Darkness got put on there, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I saw that was on the title.
I'll have to watch that this week now. I haven't watched that in so long, man.
Yep, it's so good.
I love that
movie. All right, Ahsoka, you've been watching. I have not. I'm still watching Rebels here and there, so...
Yeah, so I guess huge spoilers for Ahsoka, because there's a big moment here. Yeah. Episode 4. So as everybody's listening to this, episode 5 is out. Yeah, this is a, they're on the planet after they landed and they're trying to fix their ship, and then the Sith come and get them. It's big. It's funny to me because everyone's talking about how this is the best episode. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I have a hard time because I'm not at the peak hype of some people. Like the first two episodes I was, and then it's dipped. Mm-hmm. And now everybody's like, this is the best. And I'm like, because there's lightsabers.
Yeah. That's all it takes, man. Laser swords.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just so deep in Star Wars that like just lightsabers don't do it for me anymore, but it's a really good episode. It's a lot of lightsaber battles. You in particular will like it. Cause like they pull 100% samurai movie tropes in this, to the point where like Ahsoka like and the Inquisitor are looking at each other at one point. Mm-hmm. And she's just holding the blade and they're both just like staring at each other, and yeah, they do the one move and she slashes them in half.
Oh man, that's
like sick. You know that from every samurai movie I've ever watched,
where they run past each other and slice.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's sick.
And we get to learn who the Inquisitor is. It's an undead creature. So there's one of these witches are with the two Sith. I'm assuming they're Sith. I'm just gonna call them Sith to make it easier.
Yeah.
They're not 100% Sith, but she's with them, and one of the things they can do, and they haven't shown these characters much in live action, so people may or may not be aware of this, but they're basically necromancers. Like they can raise the dead and shit. Mm-hmm. So the thought is that this was the actual, like an old Inquisitor, and a green mist kind of comes out of him when he's cut in half. Mm-hmm. And that's the spirit like coming out that these witches can control. So basically the Inquisitor is just nobody. It was none of the stuff we thought it was. It was none of the predictions. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people are upset about that. But what I think what people are missing is this is now set up in live action, something that we've known through comics and books and stuff, that these witches can in fact raise the dead.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Which means we could have Darth Maul raised from the dead again.
Oh,
I'm just
shit.
Saying.
Yeah, that would be sick.
I think it'd be a really cool moment if they did that real quick, as like that's her last ditch effort is to raise Maul, so that we could get Ahsoka fighting Maul in live action.
That would be awesome.
And it's also important to know that the actor who plays Maul was credited in the first two episodes. So I think just the first two episodes, but it might have been all of them. And the thought is that he actually played that Inquisitor.
Oh.
Because he is like a sword fighter.
Yeah, Ray Fox.
Or yeah, Ray Fox. Yeah. So he's like, he's still involved, and he's played Maul recently.
Right.
Like he was in Solo. So I think that'd be cool. And then basically bad guys win and they get to jump to the next galaxy, and nobody knows how to find them. In that they capture Sabine. So Sabine's with them. So we have a hero with them so we can show what happens in that galaxy. Mm-hmm. But Ahsoka gets thrown off this ledge and is dead. The name of the show is Ahsoka, everybody. She's not dead.
She's definitely dead.
And we do another, we go into a scene where it's another callback to Rebels, where they go to the World Between Worlds, which is this place they found in, I think, season four, because it's after, actually, you're watching Rebels right now. It's after something happens. They go to this temple and they find this World Between Worlds, which is basically, I call it a retcon machine. Mm-hmm. Because it's literally between time and space, and the different paths inside of it can see moments that are important in the Force. Mm-hmm. So how far have you gotten in Rebels? Because I don't want to spoil Rebels.
Season one. I don't care. He gets to do whatever.
Okay, so there's a big battle between Ahsoka and Vader in Rebels.
Okay.
Where Ahsoka dies.
Yeah.
And because of this thing, Ezra is able to pull Ahsoka out of the moment right before she dies. Mm-hmm. Which brings her back to the galaxy, so she never dies. Mm-hmm. That's why I call it a retcon machine, because you could just go to this thing at any time and be like, hey, we want this character again.
Yeah, right. You just pull them back. Yeah.
So she goes there. She wakes up after she has fallen into off the ledge, and dog's going nuts next to me. And none other than Anakin Skywalker is waiting for her.
Oh, shit.
Credits.
Damn.
That was the most infuriating fucking thing. Because I'm pretty sure it's not really Anakin. I think it's just... But if it is, it's Anakin from Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
So it's pre-Vader, but post-Clone Wars Anakin.
Yeah. That's sick. And
there's some interesting things that could happen there. But
so that means what's Hayden Christensen got his... He's going to get his moment.
Came back again. Came back for Obi-Wan. Now he's back for this.
Yep.
It's good to see him welcomed in. I mean, I still stand by that episode 2 is an awful, awful movie.
Yeah.
But he was great in episode 3. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
So.
It's just the dialogue that could have used the work. He wasn't the problem.
No, he wasn't. Like, none of the actors are the problem. Like, that second movie was just poorly written and then directed terribly. But, yeah, so it's a good episode. But it's funny to me that, like, it's the one that everybody's hyping up, and it's because it has like 4 or 5 different lightsaber battles and really good lightsaber battles. Don't get me wrong. And so cool. Really good show. I'm really enjoying it. And I'm almost wondering, Mike, if you watching Rebels is not the best idea, because it seems like people who didn't watch Rebels are enjoying it more than I am.
Yeah.
Which is saying a lot, because I am really enjoying it.
Well, watching all the Rebels is like a chore to me, because there's just so many episodes. So I might just, I don't know if I can stick with it. I got too much shit I need to watch. I'm like only 11 or 12 episodes in, so.
Yeah.
I want to get to the good stuff. I have like a grasp of who the characters are, but I don't know. I think it's the animation that I don't really care for.
Yeah, and I could give you the big moments off Mike.
Yeah. I know a lot of people have read like Cliff Notes of it too. Maybe it'd just be easier to do that, but now that Anakin's back, I kind of want to see that. So, all right, everybody, we're gonna jump to this interview with Winston Jambro. We'll talk about his new book coming out, Haunted House: Love Story, and we'll see you on the other side.
All right, everybody, we've got another very special guest for you all, returning special guest. Everybody, welcome back to the show, Winston Jambro. Welcome, Winston.
Hey, Chris, Mike, thanks so much for having me back.
Yeah, of course. You know, I remember the scout badges from last time, but apparently it was a lot longer ago than I thought, because I guess time moves too quickly. But thanks for coming back. We must have left a good impression the first time, I think. So,
oh, most definitely.
Yeah. So thanks for coming back. And you know, it's always my favorite to talk about horror comics on the show. Especially, you know, Halloween's around the corner next month, but it's already started to leak into September for sure. So you have a Haunted House, a Love Story coming out, Blood Moon Comics, which is the appropriate publisher for a horror comic, I would assume, right?
Oh yeah.
So let's talk about that project. What's it all about?
Yeah, so it's a 6-issue horror miniseries. It's about a sentient house that falls in love with the person living in it. When that person falls for someone else, the house gets jealous and seeks vengeance. And then the miniseries kind of follows that chain of reactions.
Chris is so on board.
That's
right now.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's that. And do we find out, like, through the course of the 6 issues, why the house is sentient? Is there an origin story for the house?
No. That's awesome. It's pretty left ambiguous.
Yeah. So yeah, that's good. The part
we don't
horror.
Need to know that the house's parents died in Crime Alley. That's not important.
I think that, you know, I like to see that more and more with horror stories, is the ambiguity of things. Like, we don't need the reason why this is that way, or like why this person does these things. I think that's creepy in itself.
Oh yeah, the less you know about something, the scarier it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you never see the monster in a movie, that's going to stick with you versus, you know, a guy with a hockey mask.
Yeah.
Just shoot him.
Yeah, right. It's not as scary, right? Chris is pulling up there, and you're doing the art and the writing. So is that your approach with all your projects? Are you always doing that?
Not always, but usually. Yeah. I usually have a pretty set visual style in mind, mm-hmm. and I kind of change my style to match the tone of the book. So this one was really scratchy with a lot of kind of watercolor effects and mm-hmm. various textures to kind of make it more uncomfortable. And then I've drawn other stories for people and kind of changed my style to match their vision. And then I've ridden a couple, like I've got a comedy cartoon mystery coming out. And I hired a very energetic, or an artist with a very energetic art style that could kind of mimic Looney Tunes that I couldn't do myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like this. I mean, these are some panels from the book. I like this art style because it works for what you said, like you said, changing your style to fit the theme of the book and everything. And it really works. But I also like, it reminds me so much of like the noir books I like. Cause if you just like made a little bit more shade of gray in here, I could see like, all right, we got to find who killed this person.
Yeah. Somewhere right, in this book too. Right. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I really like the art style that you got going on here. It's cool.
Oh, thank you.
And the, I do love the individual, covers you're doing too, right?
Yeah.
And the one I really like is for issue two. I think you're going to keep them all the same when you go through Blood Moon, right?
Yeah. No changes there.
Issue two with like the Ouija board above the house. I think that's sick. A lot of those covers are really cool. Even issue six. Yeah. If you go on Winston's website, everybody, which we'll plug later, but he has all the individual issues, the covers up there, and that one is just gnarly with like the house all like, you know, turned inside out with the blood everywhere. I think that's sick.
Thank you. That's kind of a callback to issue one. So like issue one, I want it to be eye catching, and I think I read somewhere that red is the most eye catching color, at least for comic book covers.
Yeah.
Because I would think yellow, but I'd heard that Morrison Quietly's Batman and Robin, like it's, you know, it's little Damian like punching his fists.
Yep.
And has this bright gold yellow color, and they said that yellow covers sell the least. But anyway.
That's so weird. Yeah.
Right. I would think yellow would pop the most.
I remember there was a joke at one point that it's a joke. The end of it's a joke, but like there was a thing at one point where like it was purple covers with monkeys, specifically gorillas on them, anything with a gun, and then word balloons. So if you wanted your book to sell, you would have a purple gorilla with a machine gun with a word balloon on it. That's the joke.
I know exactly what you're referencing, and there's some 80s comic. Did you mention there's monkeys in there?
Yeah,
gorillas.
Gorillas, burning, and like a question to the reader. And so some 80s comic did that, and it's like a sobbing ape with a gun with the city burning in the background. And and anyway, so it is the best selling comic of all time.
Oh, that's hilarious. No, that's
not really.
No, it's not. But all I can think of is like Six Gun Gorilla or something now that you said that. Chris is pulling up the issues right now.
I love this cover right here.
Yeah, where everything's like split up.
Yeah.
So that's the Ouija board. I kind of deal with each issue is a different time frame of history of this house living through it and kind of how people would encounter a haunted house. So the second one is very much the Ouija board spiritualism era of the early 1900s.
That's cool. That's really cool.
Thank you. I guess I can talk about issue four. So you're getting an exclusive. I haven't done this yet. So this is kind of a 60s, 70s. It's about the couple that the Conjuring franchise was based off of.
Oh, Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Yes.
Yeah. Very cool.
So a pair of like ghost hunters with technology trying to, you know, prove that this stuff exists and go into the house.
That's very cool. All these covers are awesome. What you did, I mean, you took like two or three colors, right? And you focused on it, like you said. That I think that really pops.
Thank you. Cool.
Issue five, yeah.
And then six is a callback to one, except the red and green are now flipped and the red can, like you said, it's blood as well as the house just breaking down.
Yeah,
awesome. That one is hands down my favorite. Like, especially with the green. Like, I'm always a big fan of green. I don't know if anyone, but it's I love the colors to it and just how the house is kind of falling apart. And the cover is really cool.
And
thank you.
And you said you were originally self-published these, but you said all of the issues have sold out, right?
Yeah, I don't have any left to sell.
Yeah.
So So Blood Moon Comics is the only way to get them right now.
That's good news, though. I mean, like, that means there's a testament to how much of a hit it was. So there's six issues finished, and Blood Moon's going to be publishing all six?
As of this writing, yes. Yeah. So, okay. You know, if they don't feel like it's worth supporting by the end, mm-hmm. but the best way you can get to issue six is by buying issue one right now.
Right, yeah. And, yeah, that makes sense to me.
But when does issue one come out?
FOC, so our final order cutoff, is September 15th, but then the issue itself will come out November 1st.
Okay. Yeah, perfect. Well, it looks awesome. I know I wish I had backed it early on, but now I have another chance to read it, so I'm pretty excited about it. And you said, like, each issue, it's almost like a one-shot, right? So you have, like, a different time period for each issue. Does it go to, like, current timeline with issue six?
Current-ish.
Current-ish?
Okay. Yeah, I can say, you know, I think there's a cell phone in a shot, but it's not quite 2023.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. And what would you say, like, I mean, you're not always doing horror comics, so how was this for you? Like, how did this project work compared to your others?
So yeah, it's really just I like to jump around genres. I just get bored easily. Mm-hmm. One day I just kind of had the idea of, like, a haunted house story from the house's perspective. Like, what if it wasn't a ghost in it? What mm-hmm. if it wasn't built where it shouldn't have been built? What if it was just a house with its own motives for why it's doing these spooky things?
Yeah.
And from there, I read a lot of, like, haunted house literature, like other comics, saw some mm-hmm. movies, and kind of built it from there to get a reference, because I don't have much of a horror background, like you said.
Right.
And then really, like, getting the visual style down, I kind of had that locked in, and mm-hmm. that, like I said, that kind of shaky style. Like, there's no spot blacks in the whole comic.
Yep.
Rather than that, I would just fill it with my scratches over and over, like mm-hmm. just zigzags, and it was a lot more time consuming, and I hope people like it at all.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, no, yeah. I think it works really well for the story.
Yeah, definitely.
For the tone of the book, you know, the horror tone. But I will say too that for someone who doesn't normally do horror, it looks like the recipe of a horror book between the colors and the art. And so you did all the colors yourself as well.
Yeah, I had a flatter to color assist.
Okay,
but that was it.
And the, you did your research and stuff, but I would say I think the scariest part about having the haunted house that isn't, like, ghosts walking around, like, if it's the house that's evil, right? You have nowhere to hide. Pretty much, that's just true. It, right? You're yeah. like, you could say, oh, I could hide under my bed, but you're, like, touching part of the house. You're touching the floor of the house.
Yeah, the deeper you go in, the more you are.
Right. So that's really creepy to me. That I feel like that should be explored more, but it's always like, oh, there was a cult living in the basement, or, you know, someone died in the furnace. that's the problem. It's like, no, just the house is evil itself. So
I think how do you run from something that is containing you?
Yeah, right.
So if the house falls in love with somebody, does the house ever consummate?
Oh.
Well, I guess you'll have to read to find out.
Chris is into it now.
Great. You gotta take my money, and then when I don't get it, I'm going to be like, Winston, what the fuck, man?
Volume two.
While I was writing this, my editor did suggest, I forget the official term, but the woman that married the roller coaster. Have you heard about this?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
He's like, you should really look into that. See, like if that can relate to your book.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
Go find this lady and ask her some questions.
I bet if there are any conventions for people like that, they would really like my book. I have a new market.
Yeah, you should just set up a table there. That's awesome. I'm excited for it. Chris has got some shots here. The different panel layout. I think this is issue one here, right?
Yeah, this is issue one.
Okay, so we have obviously a couple that we're focusing on, and then they're like, the house is getting really jealous, right? So it gets upset that they're falling in love.
Yeah, this guy with the dark hair is the architect and sole resident of the house. And so the house very quickly falls for him. And then this light-haired guy is a doctor taking care of him. And they soon realize they have feelings for each other, which the house is not a fan of.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah, this I think the art works really well. And there's like, you know, there's each panel, and you can see this on Winston's website, everybody, but each panel has its own like palette, right? That looks, I don't know, just it works pretty nicely, I would say. Yeah, it's really cool stuff.
Thank you.
I'm excited for it, and I think Chris is too, to figure out what happens with the consummation. So
yeah.
You have two.
Yeah, just here. Keep if it doesn't happen in issue one, which it might, just keep reading.
There's
keep
six issues, Chris. Keep ordering them, Chris. Please.
Can you imagine, Mike? I get to the end of this and I'm like so mad.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Then it's like, I'm just writing my own book.
Yeah.
This is going to be houses fucking everything.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good title for it, too, Chris. There you
That's
go.
That's a different book.
So when I see a house fucker coming through Image Comics by Chris in 2024, I'll be like, my God, he did it. That maniac.
It's obviously going to be called I Fucked a House Once. I mean, come on.
No, House Fucker's better. HF. You're gonna just submit the script to Image and say, guys, there's no script, it's just House Fucker. They're like, sold. That's it.
Like, I really need Gary Frank for this, but
yeah, I need Gary Frank. Please.
It might be because of Mike's background. I was just going to say Alex Ross. Like,
yeah,
it's someone that is way overqualified.
He'll be on Ross covers. Draw. Don't worry. We'll get this.
Oh my God. I can see it now. That's amazing. I'd read it, dude. But yeah, so Haunted House, a love story. I'm very excited for whether this fucking or not, but I know Chris will be surely disappointed either way. But
would you believe you're the first interviewers to ask me about the consummation?
Wow.
Really? I would believe that because I would believe, fucked in
I would,
the head.
Yeah. I would believe that about Chris for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, that I can't believe we didn't ask something stupid like this last time. So you came back. I think we did something right the first time.
Next interview is gonna be like, oh, I'm not contacting those guys.
Yeah, those are the house fucker guys. Those are the house fucker guys. I'm not coming back.
So Winston, you said final or cutoff is the 15th. So when this launches, everybody still has a few days to contact a local comic shop.
Yeah. Please don't wait. If you want a copy, which you do, you do. Yes, you want to see that consummation. Just call your local comic shop. Say, give me Haunted House Love Story from Blood Moon Comics, and they'll know what to do.
Perfect.
And then you'll be in for all six issues because it's that good.
Yes, hell yeah. It is. And if our listeners, viewers want to just follow you and all the stuff you're doing, you have social media. I know you have your website, too, so you can talk about that.
Oh, yeah. I'm at Winston Gambro on everything, you know, Instagram, Blue Sky, the site formerly known as Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm very easy to find. I'm the only Winston Gambro on Earth.
Nice. Very cool.
And everybody, I'll have links to Winston's stuff, including how you can get the book. And it's in previews, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll have the previews link for you all as well.
Oh, thank you.
So check out those show notes so you can click on those and get all that information so you can check out the book. Winston, thanks so much for taking the time. Come chat with us. Really appreciate it. And we do look forward to the next time, assuming you want to come on next time.
Nice. All right.
Yeah, I got to get your reactions to when the house finally fucks the dude. Oh, I said too much.
Oh, said too much. Oh, man. Hell yeah. Thanks, Winston.
Thanks, guys.
And we're back.
We're back. Haunted House, a love story. If you like horror comics, check it out. Looks really good. The art is fantastic.
Some good stuff.
Good stuff. All right, comic book news. Marvel announced a new comic coming to Marvel Unlimited titled Spider-Man Unlimited. The series will be written by Christos Gage with art by Simone Buenfantino. The story behind the comic will have 616 Spider-Man meeting the Insomniac Spider-Man from the recent video game series. Currently is exclusive to Marvel Unlimited app, but many of these comics have later come to print. Yeah, that is a wild cover. It looks like it doesn't even look like Spider-Man is in the suit. It looks like it's just a suit. It's just like the cloth flying around on its own. There's like no mask to that character at all.
It's funny to me. So this is cool. Like, you know, yeah. Spider-Man 2, the game's coming out soon.
Yep.
And so they're gonna bring in that Spider-Man into the regular Marvel universe. I think he was in one of the Spider-Verse comics. I know he was in the movie and all this. So he's been around. It's fun, I guess. I laugh at this Infinity Comics initiative because the whole point of it was, hey, we're going to do digital comics that can only be read as digital comics. And most of them are now in print, Mike.
Yeah, they just print them after.
Like, let's just admit that, like, digital comics are nice and they can be a good supplement or they could be a good, like, alternative. But there's never going to be anything unique about them.
No.
I mean, the most unique you can get is motion comics, and those are...
Those don't work for me.
But, I mean, this is interesting. I don't think I'd ever check it out, but... It's nice to see Christos Gage's name again. I haven't seen his name around in a while.
Yeah, he hasn't been on something in a while. So
I'm sure he's done something. It's just something I'm not privy to. But
yeah. This is interesting. A new retail has popped up in France and England recently called Croa Funding, C-R-O-A. It's a new retailer with only stock items that have been crowdfunded on platforms like Kickstarter, Zoop, and Indiegogo. While it will stock a variety of items, they say that they also stock comic books and graphic novels in the stores. That's pretty cool. I have to guess that, like, you know, with these crowdfunding things, there's like usually a delay to getting the books. So they must have been like building up a database before they opened up the store.
Yeah. I'm not sure. It's a cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of those things where it's too much a swing in one direction to me.
Yeah.
Like, I want just regular retailers to accept that crowdfunding books are books.
Right. Just order books.
Yeah. And just be like, oh, this book sounds like, Mike comes into my store all the time and he loves Kaiju. So why wouldn't I bring Territory in?
Right.
Exactly. You know, stuff like that. But I don't know, maybe if this is successful. And it's in France and England, and you know, we're in the States, so who knows if it'll affect anything over here, but I want it to be successful just to prove that, like, crowdfunding stuff is successful, and to give these crowdfunders a place to sell their stuff.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
And I also know it's kind of difficult for shipping to internationally too, so having one point would be nice, I think, for those people.
Yeah, I want it to prove to regular retailers, like, listen, it doesn't have to have Marvel DC Image on it to sell it. Like, you can, people like these books, you can put them in your store. And a lot of times, I mean, if it got popular, this might change, but a lot of times nowadays, these creators are so desperate to get in stores that they'll do extra stuff for you too.
Right. Yeah. They'll help you out. So,
but it's a cool idea.
Yeah. No, I think it's cool.
Yeah.
With that, let's talk about what we read this week. A few comics here.
Slim pickings for me. It's been a week, Mike.
Okay. Well, I caught up on Dark Knights of Steel 12, Tom Taylor Putri. Yeah, it was a good ending, like you said. And, you know, the Justice League, quote unquote, is formed. So hopefully they revisit this, like, universe when they have a little more time to release issues.
If you come back, please come back the right way.
Yeah. Godzilla, Here There Be Dragons #3 by Thierry and Miranda on the art. I thought it was a good issue. And, you know, they pull the pirate off because he's about to be hung. And he tries to, like, inform the guards, the, like, royal guard, that the queen is part of a monster cult, which is pretty sick, like a cult that's, like, worshiping the monsters on the island. And then we get to a story where, like, Abira and Godzilla fight, and he's, like, getting into that story. So No, I think it, overall it's pretty cool because they're like on Monster Island seeing giant like crabs and stuff like that, dealing with that shit. So it was a good issue. Justice Society of America number 6. Johns and Santucci.
I'm really interested to talk to you about this one.
Yeah, so this took a step. So like we set up all this big stuff happening. All the sidekicks get reunited. If you read Stargirl and the Lost the Children. Yeah. So basically, you know, sidekicks are being reunited with their heroes, counterparts, which is like it's like cool and like sad in some moments because, you know, they're not like the people that they were with are not around anymore for most of them. I think it was like an interesting approach from like Johns because he does a lot of this like world building shit, but this issue he was just like, okay, you know, the sidekicks are with their counterparts, we're forming a Justice Society, and now we're like, okay, now the kids are okay, we're going to start recruiting the redeemed, they refer to them as, you know, villains that used to be part of the Justice Society, and they're going to start with Solomon Grundy, and they mentioned like Gentleman Ghost and stuff like that. So I think like each issue they're going to start recruiting people for the Justice Society. I think that's it's going to be an interesting story. This one was kind of like, yeah, if you didn't read The Lost Children, you're probably like, what the hell's going on? But I
real quick to interject.
Yeah.
That was Huntress and Power Girl wanting to bring together the group that Huntress made in the future.
Yeah.
Not the old Just Society character. Just to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, how you said it. I just want to clear it up.
Yeah. No, they want to bring. Yeah. They want to bring the villains that they had in the future in the previous Justice Society, but yeah. That was from the future. Yeah. Sorry. So interesting. I thought the Huntress and Batman stuff was kind of. That conversation was interesting of like. But then it kind of pissed me off when they're like, you and mom are going to go off and have the Gotham War. You know, I was like. I don't really care for that part of it. Like, I don't need event books coming into my Justice Society book. You know what I mean? We're not there yet. It's only 6 issues in. We don't need to talk about like Batman.
That I didn't mind because yeah. They're just like it was kind of a throwaway.
Yeah,
and it promoted that thing. But like, did Justice Society need to promote the Batman book? I don't.
Yeah,
think so, but,
no, no way.
But it didn't bug me that much.
But I think overall it's good. I'm interested to see where this is going. I don't think we've seen the last of Degadon. Johns had to like retcon some shit and give people some sidekicks and to form this new Justice Society. So we'll see.
So quick aside.
Yeah.
Batman. I'll come back after Gotham War's done.
Yeah.
I'm not doing a crossover. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That I read that issue, dude. I didn't really care for that issue and it was like, go read Catwoman. And I didn't want to do that. So.
No, I'm not doing it. So yeah,
sorry.
I'll be back when that's done.
Yeah.
So here's my thing with this book is, so the first couple pages I was like, oh, am I going to be dropping JSA?
Yeah.
Because I don't give a fuck about these sidekicks.
Yeah.
I bought the JSA book because I want the JSA.
Right.
I don't want Geoff Johns' wet dream to give Stargirl his favorite character of all time,
right.
her own team.
Yeah.
If that's what the book is, fine. But that's not what I wanted. Now, as the book went on, more JSA characters show up and all
right.
that. And that was
right.
fun. I really just hope, personally, that like they give the young JSA team their own book and Johns mm-hmm. can go have fun with that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really hope that the old JSA characters keep the JSA book and whoever wants to do that can do that. But like that, those are the characters I want.
Right.
With that criticism in mind, I really like that Huntress is making this other JSA team.
Yeah, I think that's cool.
I think you could do this where you could do like young JSA
mm-hmm.
and then you could do JSA and then you could do JSA Dark.
Yeah, I would love that shit.
Yeah, and have like 3 JSA books going on at once. Mm-hmm. And first of all, if JSA Dark, as I'm going to call it, has Gentleman Ghost in it, I'll be buying the fuck out of that book.
Of course. Of course.
And yeah, so I thought it was an okay issue. There were moments where I would like in my head, I'm just like, I guess I'm done with JSA because I couldn't take it. Like, I just, yeah. I just don't care about these kids, especially the B Dr. one? Fate sidekick.
Oh yeah, Dr. Fate sidekick.
Such a little brat. I just want to punch her through the comic.
Like, yeah. I didn't care for the B person. I'm like, who the hell's the red B? I don't want to read about her story.
Oh, the red B's awesome. So, yeah. No. But like, yeah, her ladybug, like that was, you were trying real hard for that one.
Yeah.
I don't know, Jay Garrick's daughter, like that could be a cool story, but I don't know if I care.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of characters here. I didn't read The Lost Children. I just don't care about Stargirl. And I understand that that's Geoff Johns' like favorite character. It's based on his sister that died or something like that. And all props to him. And I know that's a big character and people like him, like her. But like, I just don't. And I really just want the old JSA team back.
Yeah.
I really please stop toying with my emotions.
I just want to see Alan Scott like leading some shit, you know?
Yeah, but if it leads to what I just said,
yeah,
all sins forgiven, and I'll move on. But
yep, we'll see.
But yeah, we'll see. Apparently this is a 12-issue series too. Because I was actually shocked when there was a 6-issue because I was like, I thought the last issue was it. Like that was a pretty good ending.
Yeah, we finished Degadon, and I'm like, wait, there's more.
Yeah.
So hopefully Johns doesn't keep dragging us out like this and just ruin it. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, and this suffers like Dark Knights of Steel, because how long has it been between 5 and 6, Mike? Probably a couple months.
It's been like 2 or 3 months, yeah.
So hopefully we don't run into that issue, too.
Yep. A couple more books I had this week. Fantastic Four, number 11, with North and Coelho. This is a really fun issue. These Fantastic Four issues have been a lot of fun. It's basically Ben Grimm and this local stray dog that's been like annoying him at the farmhouse. He gets trapped in the farmhouse with Miracle Master, like causing illusions. So like, and it's like a fun issue of Grimm. Like he like the farmhouse is like falling through a tunnel. So he physics some shit and talks about how like, you know, Mr. Fantastic isn't like the only brains and he actually knows about physics and like air velocity and shit like that. And then the dog, like he's usually grumpy and like telling the dog to like leave him alone. And he ends up liking the dog because the dog helps him break the illusion at the end of the issue. So he decides to keep her. It was a really fun issue. Like these issues are a lot of like one shot stories that, and I don't know, we're still 11 issues in. There really hasn't been a huge overarching plot, which is fine. I've been having a lot of fun with it.
I like the idea of the Fantastic Four family having a dog.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And they haven't named her yet, too. So we got to wait to see what her name is. And then the Masters of the Universe, Forge of Destiny. This is Tim Seeley and Eddie Nunez continuing from the last miniseries. I like that they're doing these miniseries of Masters. It's pretty cool. This is an interesting series because we know that like the Masters of the Universe is like a combination of magic and technology, which like makes it awesome. And there's always, they talk about like a balance as always. There always needs to be balance between technology and magic. One can't like triumph over the other. But there's this precious metal that combats magic, and it apparently it resides in this one of these cities that's part of the universe. And Prince Adam and Teela are sent to that town to like make a treaty with them and like, you know, try to form alliances. And Skeletor is like, well, why are they going there? It's worthless. So he sends Evil Lyn, his sidekick, like sorceress. And what she does is she like disguises as Prince Adam, who's He-Man when he uses the sword, everybody, if you're not a He-Man fan. So she like disguises herself as Prince Adam and steals the metal. So now that city is out to fight Eternia, or I don't know if it's all Eternia, but they definitely are against like Prince Adam and his family now because they think he was the one that came and stole this metal. It's interesting. It gets in a little more like who Skeletor is and where he comes from. And I thought it was overall a fun issue. And it's a lot of like Teela and Prince Adam being like, Teela's like, you're a piece of shit, Prince Adam. And like, He-Man's way better than you. And he can't just be like, I'm He-Man, you know? So I've been liking these series. And, you know, I can't wait for more Masters of the Universe on Netflix. Love that show. So that's all I had this week, Chris.
I'm looking forward to that show too. So I'm going to kind of tie it together because I have a book called Captara Universal Truce number one.
Okay.
And Mike, you ask, how does that tie things together?
Yeah, how does that tie things together, Chris?
So this is a Chip Zdarsky book that apparently I'm learning this is volume two. So I have to go back and read volume one now.
Of course you do.
But it's his He-Man style book.
Awesome. I love it.
And it's done in a little bit more of a lighthearted, fun, like jokey way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chip Zdarsky way. And I'm looking for a panel on here. Sorry. And I like, so there's a wizard who, like, in this issue, he misses the mission because he ends up taking a nap and then wakes up to use the bathroom and realize everybody's gone.
That's amazing.
There's the He-Man-esque character who's like really into, who's like really into his body and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is. And like is all about like having sex with different people and the adventures.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And his name is Dartor. And he always hands people a book called Dartor's Guide to Fucking.
That's awesome.
And then one of the characters is like a cat person.
Uh-huh.
And all this. So it's like, it's very tongue-in-cheek, very fun, but it's like very based on He-Man.
Yeah.
And I really liked it, even though I hadn't read volume one. So kudos to him on that for you know, doing a story that was good. And kind of the character that it centers around is this guy who is someone from Earth, from our world.
Mm-hmm.
And this all takes place on another planet. So that's one of the big differences. Instead of it being like this medieval cyberpunky thing that He-Man right. does, it's another world that it takes place on.
That's cool.
So yeah, I really like that. And that's actually from last week. And then we talked about JSA. Also from last week, Marvel Age 1000.
Mm-hmm.
I read it. If you're a big Marvel fan, pick it up. But there's nothing really special in here. It's an anthology book with stories from different characters. Some I really liked. I like there's a Captain Marvel, and we're talking the original Captain Marvel story in here by Dan Slott and Mike Allred. That's really good. Mm-hmm. I thought the X-Men story was boring. Ryan Stegman does a Spider-Man story, which is really cool, and so on and so on. But Marvel Age 1000. Peacemaker Tries Hard number 5.
Nice. I need
this
to
is the book
that
Red B's in.
Oh, okay. That's awesome.
What's great about this is the brain that they're trying to they're trying to find Peacemaker's dog mm-hmm. that the brain kidnapped. They go to his lair and they find his like where he's been cloning bodies so that he can take over a new body.
Mm-hmm.
And the person he was cloning was Deathstroke. If you remember from earlier in the series, that's what Peacemaker did for him was steal Deathstroke's DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And in this issue, they find the room with all the clones and they find all the Deathstroke babies. And like they all have eye patches.
Oh my God, that's amazing. That's
and
awesome.
They have to fight a room of babies. And then they find Teen Deathstroke because it's Deathstroke that was like aged up a little bit.
Yeah.
And instead of fighting him, they just like play into his teenage angst.
Oh my God.
And he leaves. And then they find out that he's actually taking over a body of Deathstroke that he's calling Warmaker. And they have a big fight. And the Red Bee still has one bee left. So that's his big thing is he has like a bee that he controls.
Yeah.
And he uses it in the fight. And the bee stings Warmaker to try to save Red Bee.
Uh-huh.
And there's a huge speech at the beginning about how like, bees know that when they do it they'll die, and so it's like the ultimate sacrifice and all that bullshit. So it sets up like this moment where he does it and he stings the guy in the face, and it gets Red Bee to freak out so much that he cuts the brain's head out of a Warmaker.
Oh my God.
And that's when the dog Bruce Wayne finds it, that the brain, and uses a chew toy and accidentally throws it into a vat that is actually holding another supervillain, which was Chemo.
Oh my God.
Chemo, sorry.
Chemo, yeah, the like liquid chemistry guy.
Yeah,
he's made
so
out
now
of sludge.
So now the last issue is going to be them fighting Chemo with the brain inside of him.
Oh, that's crazy.
this book's a blast.
Yeah.
I really recommend it to everybody. If you like the Peacemaker show, read this. It's that style of humor, and it's so good.
Awesome.
Star Wars Dark Droids number 2 came out. Still loving this. So it's revealed in this that there was a story earlier where there's this this machine that I'm going to zone on the name of that they can trap Sith inside of.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like the Phantom Zone for Star Wars.
Yeah.
And there was this whole story arc where they were going to try to open it. And actually, Vader and Palpatine were trying to stop Kuri and all of them from doing it. But they were successful. And the reason Vader and them were trying to stop it is because the rule of two. There can only be two. So if another Sith appears, there's going to be a Sith war that's going to do all this. Well, they were successful, but didn't have a Sith inside. It had the creature that was doing taking over all the androids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this little like disc thing. And so in this, we get that background. And in this, we get that C-3PO has been taken over by this thing and is going around trying to collect data. He and like C-3PO throws R2-D2 into the vacuum of space at one point because he's like a liability.
Yeah.
And then we also learn that this creature is trying to take over living beings as well. It can take over robots, but not living beings. So it keeps doing its stormtroopers and killing them.
Oh, cool.
And then trying over and over again. But it wants to find somebody strong with the Force because they think that if they do that, that'll be the ultimate means to their end. And all that. So I think it's a really cool Star Wars event. I'm enjoying it. But there is, as I said with the first issue, there's a lot of like years and years of Star Wars comics.
Yeah, for sure.
And we mentioned a little bit earlier, but Death Note 2, yep, which is actually volume 3 and 4. So fucking good. Like, I don't know how this book keeps getting better.
Yeah.
But it does.
It's really good.
We introduced a second Death Note in this. Mm-hmm. Like, Light, the main character, ends up joining the team that's trying to find Kira, his alter ego that's killing all these people.
Yeah.
And then in the end of this, he like basically says like, fine, if you don't believe me, put me into a cell and just don't give me a TV or anything. Just like solitary confinement and I'll prove to you I'm not him.
Yep.
And that's kind of where it ends. So the next volume is going to be him in there and how that's going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you like, demons and supernatural stuff with crime and noir stuff, it's the perfect book for you. I cannot believe a book held up to the hype the way this did. Like, this book is not overhyped in my opinion.
Yep.
And there's a ton of hype behind this book.
Yeah, there is a lot. Yeah, for sure.
I'm really excited to get into volume 5 and 6. Nice. That we'll be doing soon.
Cool.
But Mike, that was everything I had. Where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at Fortress Ricker on Twitter, X. Where can they find you and or the show?
You can find me at Fortress Chris on pretty much everything. And you can find the show at Fortress Comics _ on Twitter. And if you want to support the show, you can do the 5-star review and podcatchers. Go to the YouTube, like, subscribe, share, comment down below in the videos. And if you want to support the show that extra step, you can go to Patreon at patreon.com/FortressComics. So thank you all so much for watching and or listening this week, and we'll see y'all here next time.